Good morning. Welcome to the Order of Time. Today I would like to discuss the subject of psychological time and the psychological problem. People have psychic problems which can be retraced to a certain instability of our consciousness. This relates to the order of time, this instability, considering the fact that there are three types of time. We have this psychological experience of time, the fact that you may forget about time, and thus see the time has passed very quickly, or that you're so fixed in time that you are acute aware of every moment, so that it seems to be very slow. So this instability of time awareness we call psychological time, an experience of time independent of the linear or cyclic concept of time. Nature presents us with the cyclic concept of time, and the passing sun and the changes of the phases of the moon are cyclic phenomena determined by natural law. But the culture is not that cyclic, because it doesn't leap the day nor the week. This linear concept of time, which is in fact a meditation, originally used as a meditation to break through the conditionings, is a different concept of time. As we discussed before, we have two basic forces in nature: the expanding force of nature and the contracting force of nature. And the expanding force of nature is the linear concept of time. One moment follows the other, and there's no question of any order. The contracting force, the attractive force in nature, is the counterforce to that original expansion of the universe, and it gives us a second concept of time, a cyclic time, from which we have the creation. If there were no cyclic time, there were no creation. So we have three concepts of time: this cyclic order of time, by which we sometimes are bothered because it's heavy, because it's conditioned, because it gives a certain order. We want to break through that order. And then we go meditating, and then we let go of that order. And then we simply switch to the linear concept of time. And as such, cultural time, which is pretty much linear, can be recognized as a kind of Oedipus complex relating to the father. We don't want this cyclic order of the fatherly time, the original time of our created existence. We want to break through that conditioned order and as such experience a negative mind about order. In a neurotic mind, a concept of order, the word of order, is equals to God, and maybe a negative value. You don't like this idea of order. It is like a prison. It holds you in check. You cannot move. You are like imprisoned. So you want to break out of that prison, and the whole of the culture sometimes seems to be of such an obstinacy. The culture has its linear attachment, its linear arrow, its linear sword to cut through these conditionings, and this is our freedom, and this is our way of life, and we don't want this order of the Father anymore. We resist that original Godhead who locked us up in our conditioned lives. That conditioned order, that is animalistic, that is, natural animals are commanded by it, but they have no that arrow of time, that linearity, to break through the conditionings. That is not a conscious thing with animals. They don't have such a choice. We have that choice. We may break through these conditionings. So this is an ambivalent matter. We can think positively about it as an act of free will in which we find freedom and in which we do as we like, independent of any authority but our own. At the other hand, it can be interpreted as something, and also felt as something negative, in which you lose touch with the original order of nature, with the original concept of God, with the original concept of science even, which says it's not just the reliability of a linear concept, but it's also the validity of knowing what you are measuring. Are you really measuring the state of affairs in the universe? Because what is a measurement instrument without it being gauged to the natural order? There must be a zero point of measurement in order to speak of a sensible measurement. So we have this triple consciousness of time, in which we say, okay, the experience of time might be the result of a conflict between the linear order of time, the cultural order of time, and the natural order of time, which also knows a linear aspect, but is predominantly determined by the cyclic manifestation of it. The cyclic and the linear of time are in nature not separated, but in culture they are separated. The order of the week cuts linear through the order of the sun. The sequence of weeks in a row has nothing to do anymore with the month. So weeks run right through the indifferently through the solar year. So this is a conflict between dates and days of the week, which is typically for the cultural consciousness. And we see this discrepancy between these two concepts of time, and it feeds our consciousness. We have a consciousness which we may call cultural, and in which we set the linear against the cyclic. But there are problems with this. The cyclic concept of nature offers a certain stability that we lose in our linear desire for freedom from that condition. It can be compared to a person at sea sitting in a ship, and the sea is a stormy sea with high waves, tossing the ship sidewards and up and down. And in this realization, this sea person, this person at sea, is getting seasick. This sickness is the result of missing his orientation in space and time, in which he no longer watches the horizon, but only sees the framework of the ship, which is not in line anymore with gravity, tossed by the wind and the waves. A person gets seasick. This seasickness can be compared to the psychological problem of psychological time. The instability of time awareness occurs when we do not see this horizon of the natural order any longer. The culture tends to develop its own state of mind, its own consciousness, in which the original order is secondary or simply not known any longer. This not knowing is the same as the missing the orientation at the horizon of the man at sea who gets seasick. If you miss that link with the original order of your created self, of your created world and culture, if that link is broken, then we get a kind of seasickness. And this is the foundation of the psychological problem. We don't feel anymore in order. The original order is broken in such a sense that we do not see it anymore. It is it has disappeared from our consciousness. We are on a wavy sea, but the captain tells us, well, what's wrong? All the ship is still as it is. The world around us is moving as it is usual. So why would you be sick? That kind of question is what people can ask you. What's wrong with you if you have a psychological problem? And you may answer, well, I'm just sick. I don't know. I'm sick. But the experienced sailor may know the solution. The experienced sailor may say, okay, no. What you do is wrong. You shouldn't read a book. You should look out of the window. If you don't want to be seasick, come on deck and look at the horizon. The ship is tossed by the waves, but if you look at the horizon, then it becomes like an attraction. At a carnival, you have these attractions which are a pleasure to sit in. You are tossed by that carnival attraction, but you don't miss the reference. You know what a stable world is. So the sailor pointing the seasick person out where the horizon is helps that person to overcome his seasickness. And that is what the purpose is of philognosy. We and I and everybody associated with this may give you the opportunity to restore that original bond with that horizon, with that stability of the conditioned orderly of nature. If you restore this seasickness, this psychological problem of being chaotic in your feelings, of being seasick, of being afloat in your consciousness without a hold in your life, all this psychological experience of your reality is then finished. So, relating to the psychological problem, we see then these four solutions we also discussed before, but I'll repeat them now again as a solution for the psychological problem. The solution for the psychological problem as a form of seasickness is thus see the horizon. So the first cure is to get out of the storm and go to a harbor so that you find stable ground under your feet. And the whole rocking ship is over. That is the first solution. Just get off the sea and have a firm ground under your feet so that you are not seasick anymore. You're not on sea anymore. But since we cannot abandon our traveling, our crossing the ocean, there is this traveling problem. And then we have a compensation, this looking out of the window, which practically means that to the time you have of culture, to the normal standard time, as it is called, that you put a second clock. You have two clocks. One tells you the order of the ship, the standard time, that's the order of the ship you're in. It's safe. This ship won't betray you. It's built for high sea. But to feel happy with it, you need that to look out of the window. This looking out of the window is this second clock. You anybody can put a second clock at home and put it to the sun. We discussed this before. There's a page of software displaying the tempometer, which offers you solar time, and which is the horizon, which is the normal natural order of time, as it is displayed on a sundial. So you can put one clock at home at this sundial time, and one other clock is just the traditional ship time of the conditioned culture. This restores the lack of consciousness and thus cures you from the seasickness, because now you know simply the difference that the culture makes with nature. And the whole rocky sea is still there. The high sea is still there. All that instability all these dynamics of the ocean of matter is still in existence, but you can cope with it because you know the difference. Knowledge is half the cure. You're not ignorant anymore, and now you can look and restore and reorient and thus stabilize your consciousness, even though you're still at sea. So that is the second option. The first option was to go at land and have a firm ground on your feet and have not the sea anymore, which is the same as putting your clock to the sun and throwing away that other clock, or not looking at it at that other clock anymore. But since we are cultured people, we are associated with the culture, we cannot simply throw it away. We are bound to this difference. So knowing this difference is the second cure for the seasickness that we call psychological problems, psychological instability, the instability of your awareness of time, the awareness of a conflict between culture and nature, a conflict between yourself and your fellow man and with nature. These three foundations of the hindrance you may experience in life. So these are the first two solutions. There are two more solutions. In Philocracy, we speak of four solutions for the problem of this authority of time, to solve the problem of the seasickness of psychological instability. The third option is what I'm doing now. Even I speak now to you directly or indirectly through the internet. You can determine the time you listen yourself because it's a file. You can click on any time and listen to any time. It's a recording. But still, at this moment, I don't know what your time is. I know what my time is. But I can tell you about this difference, even though your clock is just a singular realization of time, not a dual realization of time, as was suggested by the first two solutions. Even though you have just standard time and no knowledge of the time of the universe, you have no idea of where the moon is, because you never attended to lunar phases, nor have you any idea where the sun is, because it's a cloudy sky maybe. So you might be depressed of this. And the third compensation of that psychological problem you might experience with the culture is to explain it, just to give an explanation, to discuss this politically or scientifically, and thus have this back into your awareness, this realization of the difference that the culture makes with nature, and from which you may be seasick or have a conflict of authority or may be depressed or may be angry. These psychological problems can be alleviated with this knowledge, with listening to a discourse on this. So this is the third solution, to find discourse, to find an explanation, to be comforted with soothing words that say it's not directly your fault only. It can be your fault, missing a certain discipline, because there's more associated than with it than the problem of time. Psychology is more than just a clock that doesn't match nature. There are also other issues of humanity and principles and soul and ego we discussed before. But this explanation excuses you to a large extent, and helps you to restore this awareness, which is curative, which cures you from this conflict, by simply telling you about it. I don't tell you to choose one clock before the other. I don't tell you. I just tell you there's a difference between the two, and this difference explains for a certain nausea, a certain seasickness you can feel as a psychological problem, and which you may, in some cases, interpret as a depression or as a loneliness or as an inferiority complex or whatever, or as an Oedipus complex in an analytical session because Father Time of nature was repressed by the sun that was the culture. So there are many varieties of discussing the subject from different angles, from different types of logic, but it is the third solution, the solution of discourse. So we have three solutions discussed now, and there's a fourth solution, which we call the spiritual religious solution, in which we say that, okay, the culture, in relating to the nature, there's always a conflict, not just of time, but also in other respects of human values. There are more weaknesses than just being exhausted in that compensation matter. There's other problems. And in association with these other problems and other rules and other and also this type of time problem, we have this religious compensation to calm the mind, to find peace of mind through concentration in religious and spiritual exercises. In religious and spiritual exercises, you switch back, that's the original purpose of it, you switch back to the original nature, to the moment in spirituality, but also to the conditioned order of nature, which is more a religious type of solution. And in concentrating on the integrity in the religion, on the integrity of that order, which is represented by the Godhead or the prophet or the saint or the sage, in concentrating on that original integrity, the problem also solves the problem of having a restless, psychologically troublesome mind. This inferiority complex of missing the point, of being seasick in the culture, is cured by devotional prayers, by exercises of respect that give you the ideal back, the original order back, the original integrity and original self-control back, that we know of Jesus, of Buddha, of Krishna, of the prophet. They were people who knew to switch back to that original integrity of God, of the natural order, and this restore this authority of nature in your life. And unfortunately, there are perversions in the religious sector too, known as fundamentalism, turned against all of culture. But if we are not fundamentalist, if we are not freaking out against the problem, but if we accept this simply as a fourth solution, which is not repressing the other solutions, but which is offering you a certain peace of mind by concentrating yourself on the original integrity of God, represented by this or that individuality, this or that person, then we are complete in our choice. So we have four choices to deal with the problem of psychological seasickness. What hinders us is the problem we have with ourselves, the problem we have with us with each other, and the problem we have with nature. So there are three types of problems we have with these three types of time. The problem of nature is that nature offers its own instability, its own threat to the order, because nature tends to chaos just as well. The culture offers you the problem of another authority, of another conditioning, which is in conflict with the natural order, which gives you a double mind, which exhausts you with all its compensations. And the third problem is that the psychological self, the psyche, is not automatically the soul. From the primitive wild nature, we were advised to develop ego and take responsibility for our own lives in a certain positive mind of ego. But ego, we also learned, as a negative phenomenon in which we are all estranged and opposed in politics and eventually end in wars that way. So there's also a solution needed in that respect of being strangers with the ego. And so we could say, when Freud has said from the S, the primitive drives, to the ego, that is the purpose of psychoanalysis, do I suggest to you a next step from self to ego? Now go from ego to soul, because that soul comprises of the human respect for the principles of truth, non-violence, sharing, and purity, in which we retrieve that original integrity of the ideal that we cherish in our spiritual and religious exercises. So, on the firm basis of a natural sober sense of reality, as we discussed in the four solutions of aligning, compensating, with discussions, with prayers, and with measurements, considering these, we have this order of the human being who has to overcome his materialism. Just putting back the clock, as said, will not cure us directly of this psychological problem in its entirety. It restores a part of it. We are not exhausted anymore if we know how the compensations work, if we know to be religious, if we know to discuss it properly, if we know to tell the difference between the time of nature and the time of culture. There's more problems to solve than this time problem. The time problem tells us the problem of cultural exhaustion. Because of our compensations, we are exhausted, our synergy is gone, and maybe we have to put an end to all this compensation by returning to that original alignment, which is no longer a compensation. So we save energy, so to speak. But that's just one part of the problem of materialism. Materialism also has a problem of perversion. We develop attachments by all kinds of impure dealing with the original order of nature, the original order of our lives. And in that impurity, we are disloyal to the original order. And this perversion leads to a chronic opposition in ego, just as well as the problem with the truth formed. So there are two basic syndromes of materialism in this, exhaustion and perversion. And according to the rules, the regulative principles of the soul, when we go from S to ego and from ego to soul, we have to realize that there are two more principles which contribute to the syndrome of materialism if we defy them. In defiance of the harmony and peace that we need, we have become violent persons. So there's a third problem of chronic violence relating to ourselves, to nature, and to each other, in which we lose our faith in God just the same, because then we start to believe in social Darwinism, in considering our culture just as another type of jungle in which you have to survive at the cost of others, and that is how nature would be. And this is chronic violence against plants, against animals, eating them, but also against each other, not trusting each other anymore because of this Darwinistic view on reality. Don't get me wrong, I don't say we physically didn't evolve from apes. That is very well possible, that there's a line between the ape and the form of the human being. We are alike, and there seems to be an evolutionary link. But, of course, our culture hasn't evolved from the apes. Our culture evidently evolved from holy examples, from cherishing an ideal, from God. So We evolved as a culture, as intelligent human beings, not from apes, but from God. But I'm of the position that I do not consider this in conflict, this biological evolution and this psychological, this cultural evolution of our intelligence. So chronic violence relating to nature is a third phenomenon born from this Darwinistic view. A good phylognostic is a vegetarian, non-violent with himself, non-violent with others, and non-violent with the nature. The third problem is also discussed now. The fourth problem of materialism is the phenomenon of economic imbalance, because we are poor in our self-control and have constant desires therefrom, from the psychological problem of mismatching with nature. You have a kind of hunger for possessions and money and false security. In this desire for false security, you acquire more funds and money than you need, which is missed by others. So you have passive capital, which is a bad economy. A good economy is circulating all the capital, is not possessive with the capital, is not to the false security of the attachment to the capital, but to the true security of capital flow, money flow. It has to flow like blood through the body. Money has to circulate. Then we are healthy in our economy, not when we are playing millionaire and accumulating it senselessly and uselessly. So this is the economic imbalance syndrome, which is a lack of penance, lack of integrity, dealing with the different types of labor, working for a result, working for the money, and working for the ideal. So both are needed with each individual, and it shouldn't be opposed in society between religious people here and materialist people there. So these four syndromes of materialism, if we fight them, being faithful to the human principles of the soul, then that ego can be overcome, which was loaded with conflict, the conflict between nature and culture. So if we do not longer keep this attachment of the culture in with all its compensations, but if we return to the original nature, and if we remember to that the integrity of the soul, of the human principles, then we can restore from this psychological setup, this psychological problem of not finding stability with ourselves. I thank you for your attention.